Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik and Jessica Tai.
Yeah, morning frost on Friday. Love reading that. That's great.
I'm not ready for it yet, but I am. I'm mentally preparing to pull in the peppers, pull in the herbs. I want them to last longer.
Yeah.
And so I can usually get a couple months out of my herbs, actually keeping them inside.
All right. Well, it's in the forecast here. Friday morning could be a little crispy. We are holding off on turning on the heat at our house. We'll see if we can get through the weekend with that. 210 here on WTMJ.
Here's your top 2 at 2 on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Number one, should President Trump get millions of dollars in taxpayer money? That's a big question being asked this afternoon. President Trump says he could be seeking $230 million from the Justice Department as compensation for previous investigations into him. He also said he would give the money to charity, but should he even get it? House Speaker Mike Johnson was asked that question today.
I don't know the details about that. I've just read it. I didn't talk with him about that. I know that he believes he's owed that reimbursement. What I heard yesterday was if he receives it, he was going to consider giving it to charity. I mean, he doesn't need those proceeds, but we're for the rule of law. We're for what is just and right. And it's just absurd that, I mean, as has been noted here several times this morning, they attack him for everything he does.
The president filed 2 claims against the DOJ when he left office, claiming his privacy rights were violated. He faced special counsel investigations over his campaign contacts with Russia and his removal of classified documents from the White House to his home in Mar-a-Lago. The payment may ultimately be approved by a Justice Department official who was once Trump's personal lawyer. Democrats are calling the president's demand illegal.
Well, number two, a Wisconsin Senate Public Safety Committee meeting today regarding Senate Bill 317, legislation that, if approved, would require Wisconsin public schools to have cardiac emergency response plans in place during school-sponsored events, including athletic competitions, beginning next school year. The bill was first introduced in June by Wisconsin Senators Jesse James and Van Wangard. The bill includes a grant program to help schools with the implementation costs, and there would be several: CPR training, AED installation, and also certifications for coaches, teachers, and trainers. Some schools already have a process in place, but this legislation would make it a sweeping plan across Wisconsin public schools. 212 on WTMJ. The Packers travel to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Sunday night football. Everybody wanting to see Aaron Rodgers against his former team.
That is for you guys to talk about.
Yeah, it's head coach Matt LaFleur. But what do the players think? We'll ask Jason Wilde, joining us from Green Bay after this. So the practice week begins today for the Green Bay Packers. So first opportunity to hear from players, and I mean really hear from players, about this idea of going to Pittsburgh to not only face the Steelers, but play against Aaron Rodgers. That, of course, is the story of the week in Packerland that Matt LaFleur is doing his best to downplay.
That is for you guys to talk about. Granted, I mean, we've got a lot of respect and love for Aaron. I mean, what he's done here, but this game is not about that. It's about going to Pittsburgh, Sunday night football. Our guys will be jacked up. Their guys will be jacked up. It's about the Green Bay Packers versus the Pittsburgh Steelers.
But there's a reason the NFL chose this game for Sunday night football.
Oh, it's going to be a good one. We're talking about it. People want to watch it. They want to see it. What's going to happen? Hopefully the Packers win.
Well, it's just kind of what happens here, right? The NFL does its best to place its primetime games in primetime with the juiciest of storylines. And yes, you get juicy storylines when NFC plays AFC frequently, but this really stands out. Now, I did go back and look at the roster because Matt LaFleur had also mentioned, like, look, most of our team hadn't even played against Aaron Rodgers. And I get that. That's totally true.
But it's not like they don't know who Aaron Rodgers is, though.
Exactly,
right? History there. It's Aaron Rodgers.
So there's 14 players on the roster, or part of the 53-man roster. I'm not sure what the game day 46 will look like, who have played with Aaron Rodgers. They could call Aaron Rodgers a teammate, right? It was just a few years ago, of course, that he ended up going to the Jets and doing that whole thing, and now he's with Pittsburgh. But even if you haven't played with Aaron Rodgers, and if you play defense, that dude's going to be wearing a gold jacket 5 years after he retires, right? And the idea of sacking a Hall of Famer or intercepting a Hall of Famer or knocking him to the ground, like that to me, still, whether you've played with the guy or not, whether he played in Green Bay or not, you're still going up against a future Hall of Famer with a chance to do something that not a lot of people have done.
You know what else is gold? I mean, technically it's probably yellow, but those terrible towels that the Steelers have. So do you think, I mean, we traveled so well down to Arizona for that last game against the Cardinals. Do you think our fans will travel as well to Pittsburgh?
No, I don't. And that's not to say Packers fans won't be in the stands. I don't know if, this is interesting, because I don't know if when you're making your plans, how you prioritize the games you want to see. Is it the team, the opposing team?
Is it location, is it, the weather?
Exactly. Yeah. Or is it Aaron Rodgers, right? So my thought is, you know, you had thousands of people in Arizona, because that sounds like a pretty fun place to be in October, right? Beautiful weather, perfect conditions. You're out in the greater Phoenix area. Turn it into a nice little vacation. If you're going to Pittsburgh in October, I don't know if you're turning that into a vacation. It's likely a trip to see Aaron Rodgers. So I would think more people identified Arizona as the travel trip. And there will be Packers fans, I'm sure.
They're always Packers fans.
But not quite as many. Now, Steelers are also better than the Cardinals, so the opportunity to get tickets might be a little more challenging in Pittsburgh. It's a pretty good team. It's a playoff-caliber team, and Aaron is playing pretty well for that team.
Speaking of fans, Aaron Rodgers was just asked about, I think somebody asked him, I know there was an article in Sports Illustrated kind of comparing Steelers fans to Packers fans, and Rodgers said, I feel like these fans are a lot like the Green Bay fans. He said Green Bay is having some angst around how many people are selling their tickets, so hopefully there's not that much of that that goes on. But the thing he said that he could say is that I do know about Steelers fans is that in the fourth quarter in crunch time when the Jets had the ball at MetLife, it was loud, and that was our fans.
So they've had this game earlier this season was the Jets taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And somebody asked me earlier this week, like, do you think Aaron feels a sense of, I'm going to stick it to the Packers, that team, those people? I think he felt it more with the Jets, because the head coach of the Jets, who's a new head coach, had Aaron Rodgers fly across country from California. Aaron flew out to meet with the new head coach of the New York Jets, and the coach of the Jets basically said, we're done with you. And Aaron's response was, couldn't we have done that on the phone?
Right.
Like, why did I fly out here to do this? So he really stuck it to the Jets. And we do know this. Historically, Aaron with a chip on his shoulder can be an Aaron that...
he can be a force, yeah.
He can be a force, right? And he was in that particular game. So while Matt LaFleur downplays the idea of Packers versus Rodgers...
That is for you guys to talk about.
I don't know if those inside the locker room feel the same way. For that, we welcome in Jason Wilde. Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin. Read his work at channel3000.com. People have a chance to respond now after Matt LaFleur's comments. Jason, what do the players think about the idea of going up against a future Hall of Famer?
Yeah, they're excited, Greg. And the idea that this is the same as facing Joe Flacco or Jacoby Brissett, I mean, it's just not. And while it's, you know, I think everyone kind of thinks of this as what we remember from 2009 when Brett Favre had such an incredibly large axe to grind with the team. And Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers and really everyone associated with the Packers for that game at the Metrodome put so much into it and were so obsessed with it that they played really poorly and Favre just cooked them. It's just not that way for this. Now, do I think Aaron Rodgers wants to beat his former team and do so in a way that reminds them, hey, you can be excited about your young fella, and I was a good mentor to him, but this is what a Hall of Famer looks like? I do. Do I think there's a lot of guys on this roster that are motivated to stick it to Aaron Rodgers like there were in 09 with Favre? I don't. I think it's more of a respect and an admiration. But that's really about it.
Jason, do you know how the Packers prepare for Rodgers' style of play, considering Jordan Love learned from him for years?
Yeah, I mean, look, as Matt LaFleur said today, they're obviously very different quarterbacks, and they're two different people, certainly very different personalities. But at the same time, like, there are a lot of similarities, and obviously Aaron Aaron taught Jordan a lot. He definitely can't say I've taught him everything he knows, because that's not true. But he definitely tried to teach him everything that he knew to pass on to Jordan, because they had a really good relationship. But look, the difference with Rodgers and anybody else is that he has seen everything, right? I mean, when you've been in the league 21 years, it's different. And so the idea that you might be able to trick him, or that you may be able to run some coverages that will surprise him, the chances of being able to do that are pretty slim. Whereas I think Jordan is still at a point in his career where that happens, maybe not on a regular basis, but semi-frequently.
So when Aaron has had an axe to grind, he has been a force, as Jessica put it, and I think that's a perfect word to describe how he has played. His most recent axe that he grinded was against his former team, the New York Jets. I sensed there was an axe to grind there because of how Rodgers' departure from that team went down. I guess I don't sense that he has an axe to grind with the Packers here, but I guess it's possible. And the Packers are also the only team he has never beaten as a starter in the NFL. So I'm wondering just how that all works into his psyche.
Yeah, and I do get a kick out of that stat, which is 100% true, Greg. But it's also the only team he's never played against. So this might be, probably will be, his only shot. So I bet that, you know, he loves that kind of stuff, like those kind of quirky accomplishments. So I guarantee you that that matters to him. Definitely not the axe grinding. But, like, I don't think, I mean, let's be honest, I don't know if he ever had, like, the ideal relationship with any of his coaches. Certainly there were times when he threw Mike McCarthy under the bus unnecessarily. And I do think he was probably a little overbearing with a young Matt LaFleur when he was in his first couple years as the head coach. But I would also say this, and I this is one of my favorite stories. The Los Angeles Rams played the Minnesota Vikings on a Thursday night in the 2018 season. And I came to the locker room on Friday. It was before McCarthy got fired, but things were not going great. And there was a buzz, you know, Davante Adams was still there. Randall Cobb was there. Obviously Rodgers was there, and they were all talking about this new offense that they were seeing from Sean McVay. And wouldn't it be fun to play that? There's guys open all over the place, I remember one of them saying. And then the Packers get Matt LaFleur, and for as much as, you know, Aaron may have been resistant to change, that offense was really good for him. And I know it was a hybrid between him and what LaFleur wanted to do, but he won back-to-back MVPs in 2020 and 2021. And part of it was he got to play in a new offense that gave him different schemes and different patterns to throw to. And I think that was extremely valuable.
What's the vibe like in Pittsburgh with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback? Are fans feeling like he's our guy?
I think he's probably viewed as a hired gun, right? A mercenary, but at the same time, when you've been through what they've done, like look at what they've done at quarterback since Big Ben, right? I mean, they've tried drafting guys. They brought in Mitch Trubisky at one point. They brought in Russell Wilson. Last year they had both Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Like, Pittsburgh's a proud town, man, and they've got a lot of history where things don't change, right? They went from Chuck Knoll to Bill Cowher to Mike Tomlin as coaches, and all those guys coached forever in Pittsburgh. So there's a value to continuity there, and obviously Ben Roethlisberger was the quarterback for a really long time. But I think what I'm interested in, and I don't know if I'll get my question in when we have our Zoom call with him tomorrow, because it's not going to be very long. But one of the things I'm intrigued by, he stopped doing the Pat McAfee show. It feels like in his last go round, if that's what this is, if he has just been way more all about ball and what his mentality has been for this season, because Pittsburgh, kind of like Green Bay, but bigger, is all about ball. And I think that's probably been good for him after the nonsense of the last 2 years in New York City.
A couple of proud franchises on Sunday Night Football. NBC has picked this one for a reason.
That is for you guys to talk about.
And Matt LaFleur does not want to talk about it. Jason Wilde, Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon on ESPN Wisconsin, and wonderful work online. Check it out at channel3000.com. Jason, we appreciate it. We'll
Thanks,
check it
Jason.
Again soon.
I look forward to talking to you at my regular time next week. It's been a day. I appreciate you guys. Take care. Be good.
Yep, you too. Jason Wilde joins us each and every week. Our football fix sponsored by Flanners Home Entertainment. Check him out at flanners.com. Sound advice at the best price. For Flanners, just press play. Well, happy National Pizza Month. Yes, the month of October is great for so many reasons, but of course, it's National Pizza Month. Why not celebrate? It's always a good time to celebrate with Palermo's, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, and John Leonardo joining us, Senior Director of Marketing for Palermo's. You brought gifts.
I did. I feel like if I didn't come bearing pizza, I'd have a lot of people very mad at me today. Yeah. So, and listening to the weather, 48 degrees in the 30s. Perfect time to be turning on those ovens and having some great Palermo's pizza.
You are so right. And today is also National Tavern Style Pizza Day, which, by the way, you brought in some tavern style from Palermo's. This is so good. And as soon as I took a bite of it, it's sausage. And it took me back to my childhood. Do you ever just take a bite of a piece of pizza and it takes you back and gives you some good memories?
Yeah, absolutely. And the one that you're eating right now is our Screaming Sicilian Tavern Style. That is one of my personal favorites. I tend to be more of a thin crust fan, and I just love that crust. And it tastes as close to carry out as you could find in the market. It's a fantastic pizza. It's one of my favorites. So that's why I wanted to bring that and help celebrate National Tavern Pizza Day.
Well, we'd like to be part of your taste marketing team, if possible, like to come up with some ideas. And hey, if they work, they work. If they don't, they don't. But it'd be fun to be a part of. You also brought in the box here. Last time we had you on, John, we talked about the Stranger Things pizza. So it's sort of reimagined. It was Surfer Boy pizza, and now front and center on the label, it says Stranger Things. And this goes back to its tie-in with the Netflix show, hit show, Stranger Things. We started watching it at our household, not the kids, just my wife and I. And we've seen it now pop up. So it's kind of putting it all together. It's such an interesting collaboration. Would you ever have thought you'd have this opportunity to connect with a Netflix hit TV series with your local pizza here in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fantastic opportunity for our organization to partner with Netflix and Stranger Things to bring a in-world concept to the real world, right? And it's been a huge success. And as you're aware, they're going to start releasing the first batch of episodes at Thanksgiving for season 5.
November 26th, volume 1 of the 3-part final season drops.
Yep.
People have it circled on their calendars, John.
It is. It's a big, big deal. People have been waiting years to see the final installment in this storyline. So, we're excited. And, right now, especially with it being October, you have Halloween right around the corner. Stranger Things, great time to start catching up on all the past seasons as you gear up for season 5. And no better way to do it is having your family together and enjoying some Stranger Things pizza while watching the series.
As these awesome flavors have been out for a while, and they're so fun. Hawkins High Cheese, Palace Arcade Pepperoni, Hawkins Lab Combination, Starcourt Mall Supreme. So if you watch Stranger Things, you're like, oop, I know that spot. Have you gotten feedback from the fans and from the pizza lovers out there about what a great combo this has been?
Yeah, we see a lot of things on social media. We're always monitoring for any of our brands what people are saying out in social media. And we see lots of pictures, videos that people are posting when they find the product in store, as well as them enjoying the product at home. So it's been really positive. It makes the whole experience that much more fun when you can enjoy something that's so tightly linked to the series. And obviously pizza, it's a great tasting product, and just a lot of fun.
Well, I'm sensing a spin-off series, right? I mean, as Stranger Things comes to an end, why not start Stranger Things or Surfer Boy, right? Surfer Boy, the Netflix doc, pick it up, right? Frasier built off of Cheers. And Surfer Boy could build off of of the Netflix series with Stranger Things. What a great opportunity. Yeah. Hey, write him a letter.
Yeah. I am sure the executives over at Netflix have lots of ideas on how to continue the Stranger Things franchise in fun and unique ways. This is by far, if not their most popular series, it's definitely one of the top. Yeah, I don't think after season five you're going to hear the end of Stranger Things from Netflix.
Well, I wanted to ask you about expansion, too, because in the last few years there have been a couple different production facilities opened in southeastern Wisconsin, one in Jefferson, one in West Milwaukee, obviously fueling a need here, right? People like their frozen pizza, and Palermo's makes the best. How has that been going? You're about a year or so into the West Milwaukee. Jefferson's been around a little bit longer.
Yeah, so West Milwaukee actually just started production in September. So we just started manufacturing there. And that facility is really specialized in making a pizza-type crust, so a Roman-style crust. And we have the capabilities and the equipment that allows us to make that type of product at scale. That's one of the biggest trends in pizza, is that style of crust. And so while right now we're in the frozen pizza business, we see a bigger opportunity in food service, where restaurants that maybe don't have the staff or the capabilities to make that type of product, being able for us to fulfill that need across the country. So really excited. The facility is phenomenal. It's state of the art. And yeah, we're really excited about the opportunities you know, for the future of the company as we expand.
Well, I was curious about the future because Palermo's is so big, it's so good, and as we've seen the expansion already, what does the future hold? What are some of those ideas that are circling around right now, and might you expand into other areas as well?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. We are always, as you know, we've been friends of the show for years, and we're always coming up with new things that we like to come in and share with you and your listeners. We are always looking at new crust types. So what's like the latest trends? What are some consumer insights and what's happening from a consumer mindset, whether it's people looking for more protein or
lower carbs. We were just talking about that protein craze. It's crazy right now.
It is. And I just got back from a big trade show, and that was one of the big things that was talked about, is all these products with the protein claims on pack. So our company and my team, we're always looking at new innovations. So we're going to continue to come out with new and creative things in the pizza space, as well as I mentioned, the food service side.
Speaking of collabs, Greg, can you pass me that box over there?
Yeah, this Cheez-It one.
Can I just tell you, Greg, get your own box. Isn't okay. that the Cheez-It? Isn't that the Cheez-It?
It is,
slogan?
That,
get
yeah.
your own box. Cheez-Its are one of my faves. I could just give me a box of Cheez-Its. And I remember Cheez-Its, they had some collab with Target and wine at one point. The Cheez-It pizza, when I saw this, I was like, tell me more. How do you team up with a group like Cheez-It? How did this happen?
Yeah. So we, you know, because of the success that we've had with Netflix and Stranger Things, it's opened up a lot of doors for us as a company. So I get numerous calls, emails from folks that are wanting to partner to bring their product or their brand into the pizza space. And so we had the fine folks over at Kellanova reached out and said, pizza is a category that we think makes a lot of sense for the Cheez-It brand. And they were aware of what we did with Stranger Things and the success that we had with that. And so, yeah, that's how the conversation, the opportunity arose. And, yeah, really unique product to be able to replicate a Cheez-It cracker
yes.
texture,
yeah.
flavor, and a pizza crust. You know, it was really hats off to the entire R&D team at Palermo's. They did a fantastic job developing that.
And this is dinner at 8 minutes. How about that?
That
how
cooks
easy
quick.
Is that? Yeah, that's a quick one.
Always thinking, always innovating. John Leonardo, Senior Marketing Director for Palermo's Pizza, October National Pizza Month. Such a great story, John. There's always good things happening at Palermo's. I drive by it typically every day because I take Canal Street as my cheat way to get home.
Smart
so I don't have to
go.
Mess with the freeway. And there are yeah. days where I just kind of smell what's cooking mm-hmm. outside of that Palermo's mm-hmm. factory. So always appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you both. Appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come on, celebrate National Pizza Month.
That'll always help. A lot of fun. 2:49 here on WTMJ. We'll wrap up the program with some final thoughts after this. We're wrapping up a Wednesday edition of Wisconsin's Midday News. Greg and Jessica with you. If you're a weary Milwaukee driver who thought parking couldn't get any worse in the city, get ready for a delightful surprise next year, Jessica. I'm sure you're excited about this.
Oh, I park in downtown Milwaukee quite a bit.
In 2026, Milwaukee's planning to enforce parking rules more strictly with the goal of writing 550,000 more tickets. See, there's a budget issue here. They're not making enough money through a whole parking meter situation, so they're going to write more tickets. This is a 65,000 ticket increase over projections for the current year, and the city also plans to extend parking meter hours. They've already kind of started doing that in the Third Ward, especially.
Yeah, you've got to pay attention to the signs, without a doubt. They elongated the hours.
Now, they're different everywhere you go, right? Some parking, you don't have to pay after 6. Some, it's after 8. The Third Ward now after 9. Some places, it's 2-hour parking. Some places, it's 25-minute parking. Very little rhyme or reason to how you do it in Milwaukee. But Mayor Cavalier Johnson's budget for 2026 lists $14 million in parking ticket revenue. So they're going to be out looking for you.
I will say, though, we need to make sure that the parking meters in downtown Milwaukee work.
That would help.
Because there have been two times, I'd say, in the last month and a half where we have gone to pay the meter and the meter's malfunctioning or something is not working. And you would say, you would think maybe that, oh, okay, well, the meter's malfunctioning, so if you get a ticket, you can argue about it. But that becomes a big old argument, I've heard.
Yeah, you want to sit and fight a traffic citation or a ticket, a parking ticket? Yeah, good luck with that. That's money and time you'll want back, no doubt.
I will say, living on the east side, too, downtown, winter is coming, and we see so many parking tickets.
Oh, usually. Yes. Winter parking regulations go into effect typically very early December, whether there's snow on the ground or not.
It is. You know, the east side, it can be tough, but that's also the fun part about living downtown, right?
The adventure?
You've got to have a little adventure with it.
Well, I certainly get that. But yes, be mindful if you're headed downtown. 550,000 more tickets expected to be handed out in 2026. 2:55 on WTMJ. Bucks basketball later tonight. Before that, Wisconsin's Afternoon News with Julia and Eric.
Go Bucks.